if you have a job, and if you own a home, and if you're in good health, and if your kitchen is stocked with enough food to last you for some time, and if you're a wise steward of your money and you have a healthy 401k, why would you need to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"?
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, there may be many listening today who would say, yeah, that is not my reality, so I get why I would have to pray that. But for those who can't identify with what you just described there, why is it so important for us to pray that prayer then? Give us this day our daily bread.
Well, I think simply for the reason that everything that we have can easily be lost. I mean, think about the story of Job. I mean, he had all of these things that we've just referred to, and they all went, they were all gone in a single day. Now, that's why however much or however little we have in this world, we can never put our confidence or our security in the things that we have. We are by nature dependent upon God, and everything that we have is His blessing that's put into our hands, and yet we don't hold it by right. We hold it as long as He gives it to us and in as much as He gives it to us. So this prayer is a wonderfully liberating prayer. It focuses our minds and our hearts on where our dependence really is and on where our provision really is. That it is God who provides for me, and He provides for me day by day, and I don't have what I need apart from Him, but with Him, I have all that I need. I hope that today's going to be a real encouragement. However much or however little you have, if you have God, if you are His in the Lord Jesus Christ, then you can have great confidence that He's going to provide all that you need.
Well, if you can, grab your Bible and join us in Matthew chapter 6 as we begin our message, God's Provision. Here is Pastor Colin.
Today we come to the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Now, there are four things that praying this prayer will do for us. I want us to see today how praying this prayer will help us to acknowledge our dependence, how it will help us to grow in gratitude, how it will deepen our compassion, and how it will affirm God's faithfulness. Let's begin here then. This prayer, as you pray it, will acknowledge our dependence. Give us this day our daily bread. And I want to focus first on this very important word, give. Give. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, when we ask God to give us our bread, we are very clearly acknowledging our dependence upon Him. And that's against our nature, because by nature, what we want to do is declare our independence. But when we've come to know God as our loving Heavenly Father, we gladly affirm that every good gift that we enjoy comes from our loving Father and comes down from His gracious hand. In other words, this prayer acknowledges that there are no self-made men or women anywhere. What do you have that you did not receive? It all comes from the good and the gracious hand of our loving God. And then when we ask that God will give us our daily bread, we're also recognizing that God doesn't owe us anything. Now, next time, God willing, we'll come to the fifth petition about forgiving us our debts. And there we recognize that there is a debt that all of us owe to God. But none of us can ever come to God and say, "Oh, there's a debt that you owe to me." No, God owes us nothing. And all that we have is a free gift from His loving and His gracious hand. Now, I guess that the sense of daily dependence upon God for the provision of what we need was something that was felt more deeply and more immediately by people in earlier centuries than it often is today. I mean, we have become used to brilliantly managed processes by which our food comes from the farm to the fork. But one thing surely that we are learning from this coronavirus is that things we assume will always be there can disappear very quickly indeed. And we really do depend on God more than we may often think. And Jesus teaches us to ask the Father to provide what we need today. Now, in Bible times, God's people looked back to when God brought them out of Egypt, where they had been slaves. And God parted the Red Sea, brought them safely to the other side. But then, of course, God's people faced a long trek to the promised land. They had to spend time in the wilderness. How were they going to survive? What in the world were they going to eat? And the scripture tells us very wonderfully how God gave them manna from heaven. The Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread down from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day." Now, this manna, that, don't you love that phrase, rained down from heaven? It was like a kind of gum or a resin. And it was on the ground. It fell, as it were, with the dew. They found it in the morning and they gathered it. They ground it. They boiled it. They made cakes with it. And the scripture tells us that the taste of it was like the taste of cakes baked with oil. When the dew fell upon the camp at night, the manna fell with it. Now, this manna was a miraculous gift of God. God provided it. And when Jesus tells us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," he is reminding us that we depend on God for our food as much as the Israelites depended on manna in the desert. Now, here's the question. I wonder if you really believe that. That we depend on God as much as the Israelites in the desert. See, if you have a job, and if you want a home, and if you're in good health, and if your kitchen is stocked with enough food to last you for some time, and if you're a wise steward of your money and you have a healthy 401k, why would you need to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread"? You have all you need for today. It's right there. Well, you need to pray this prayer because everything you have can easily be lost. And the Bible makes this very clear. Remember the story of Job. Here was a good man, and God blessed him, prospered him. He had a large family. He had substantial assets. And they were in sheep and in camels and oxen and donkeys. Here was a man who had all that you could ever want or imagine. And yet everything he had was lost in a single day. Enemies attacked Job's servants. Lightning struck his sheep. Thieves stole his camels. And then the house in which his children were gathered collapsed on them under a hurricane force wind. And when disaster struck, Job said, "The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, a godly person knows that everything he or she has is a gift from the hand of God, and we only have it as long as God wants us to keep it. And then the Bible tells us another story in the book of Ruth. We read about a couple, and they had two sons, and they were a family of some means. And so when a time of famine came, they were in a position where they were able simply to move to another country. But while they were there, the man died. And then sometime later, the two adult sons died. And the woman, whose name was Naomi, was left. She came back to her home and she said this, "I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." See, we depend on God not only to provide what we need, but also to keep what we have. And then Jesus tells us another story in the New Testament, a story about a rich man who lost everything. God had blessed this man with a great harvest. In fact, it was so great that he didn't have room to store the grain that was harvested. So he made a decision to expand his operation. "I'm going to pull down my barns. I'm going to build bigger ones." And when it was done, he said, "Well, now I have enough laid up for many years. And I can eat and I can drink and be merry." And God said to him, "You fool! Don't you realize that this very night your soul will be required of you?" So friends, we depend on God to provide what we have, to keep what we have, and to sustain our life so that we can enjoy what we have.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called God's Provision, part of a larger series, Six Things to Ask of God. We're going to get back to this message in just a moment, but if you joined us a little late or you can't stay with us through the end of the program, you can always come to our website and you can listen to each and every broadcast there. You could stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Just come to unlockingthebible.org. If you are just joining us, we are in the book of Matthew, chapter 6, so grab a Bible and join us there as we get back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
We depend on God to provide what we have, to keep what we have, and to sustain our life so that we can enjoy what we have. At every point, we are completely and utterly dependent upon the Lord. Now, surely one thing that God is teaching us through this crisis is that our lives are much less certain than we often like to think. We really do depend on God daily. And the scriptures remind us of this, especially in regards to our food, that at every stage of the process, from the growing of our food to the eating and the digesting of it, we are completely and utterly dependent upon God. We depend on God for our food when it's in the field, in the barn, on the plate, and in the stomach. Thomas Boston points out some scriptures that speak to this. Think about it. God says in Hosea and chapter 2 and verse 9, "I will take back my grain." See, when the grain is in the field, it is at risk of being destroyed by wind or rain or drought or disease. God can take back the grain before it ever gets to us. But then we think, but once it's harvested, once it's in the barn, then it's safe. No, Hosea chapter 9 and verse 2, God says this, "Threshing floor," that's where the gathered grain is sorted out, "the threshing floor shall not feed them." Now, once the grain is in the barn, it can easily be destroyed by a fire. One blaze and the whole lot is gone. But what about when it's on our plate? Once we've got it in the kitchen, once we've got it cooked, once we've got it in front of us, surely then all is safe and all is well. Well, not so fast. Psalm 107 and verse 18, They loathed any kind of food and drew near to the gates of death. You see, what good is food piled high on your plate if you don't have the health or the appetite to eat it? And you say, well, once we've eaten it, surely then it's all okay. Surely then everything is fine. Well, not so fast. Listen to this from Job chapter 20 and verse 14 regarding food in your stomach. His food is turned in his stomach. And then this, it is the venom of cobras within him. Even when food is in your stomach, it'll be of no use to you if it makes you sick. So from the growing of our food to the nourishing of our bodies, we depend every day on God and on his abundant goodness to supply all of our needs. Thomas Boston says that the universe and all of its creatures are upheld by God like a ball in the air, and that if God were to remove his hand, it would fall and collapse completely, the whole thing. Then he says this, if God should withdraw his hand, our food would all vanish, the beasts would disappear, and the sun would go out like a candle. If God were to withdraw his hand. Your food and all that goes into it, nourishing your body, getting to you and then nourishing you, you depend on God for it as much as God's people in the desert when God rained down manna to provide for them. So let us be grateful to God. Many Christians, of course, recognize this in a very simple way by saying grace at meals. I think that's a very good tradition. It helps me to remember three times a day that God is providing for me and that what I have and what I'm able to enjoy is a gift that comes directly from his loving hand. So in this prayer and in making it your own, we learn to acknowledge our dependence upon God. And then there's a second thing that I think is especially important for all of us today. And that is that we grow in gratitude. Give us this day our daily bread. Now let's focus in on that word bread. Bread is used in the Bible as a general term for the basic necessities of life. So, for example, in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, God says to Adam, by the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread. And that very simply means, Adam, you are going to have to work for your living. So bread includes food, health, as we've seen, appetite. It includes shelter. It includes clothing. It includes our work. It includes our safety. It includes the stability of our country and of our economy. All of these are gifts that come from the loving hand of our Father in heaven. So in this prayer for daily bread, we are asking God for all that we need for a life that will honor his name, advance his kingdom, and do his will. Now, notice that it's bread that we're asking for. It is not filet mignon. God gave them manna. God gives us what we need. He does not give to us all that we want. And Jesus invites us to ask for what we need. Now, Numbers in chapter 11, and this has come to me with great force again this week. Numbers chapter 11 tells us the story of how God's people complained about the food that he provided for them. God gave them manna, but they were not satisfied with what God had given. They wanted more. And we read in Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4, Now, the rabble that was among them had a strong craving. And the people of Israel also wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat." They had bread, they had the manna. But they said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat." Now, I want you to notice this, that there was a rabble among God's people. A group, in other words, among God's people who were never satisfied. And these people had a strong craving. Instead of being thankful for what God gave them, the manna, instead of being grateful for what they did have, they got angry, they got frustrated because of what they didn't have. And the great difference, you see, between the rabble and the redeemed is that the rabble blame God for everything and thank him for nothing, whereas the redeemed thank God for everything and blame him for nothing. Well, this rabble, they stirred up others among God's people, and their complaints began to spread throughout the whole camp. The people of Israel wept again and said, "Oh, that we had meat to eat." God gave them bread. They wanted meat. Then they said, "Now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." They despised what God had given them, the bread from heaven. "Not good enough. We want more."
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called God's Provision. Looking today at how prayer will acknowledge our dependence on God and also help us grow our gratitude. We're going to continue next time to look at that, as well as how prayer also deepens our compassion and affirms God's faithfulness. So I hope you'll make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a broadcast, you can always listen online. Just come to our website, unlockingthebible.org. Well, Unlocking the Bible is a listener-supported broadcast. That's exactly what it sounds like. We depend on your generosity to keep this broadcast on this station. And as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to send you a book called Rejoice and Tremble. It's about the surprising good news of the fear of the Lord. And Colin, as you read this book, what did you get out of it?
Steve, that's going to take longer than we've got left in this program to say. There are so many good things in this book. So let me just mention one. I'd never thought of this before, but Michael Reeves says that all fear is a foretaste. In other words, sinful fear, the fear of unbelievers that causes people to resist God and pull away from him, that's actually a foretaste of hell. I'd never thought about this. It says in James that even the demons shudder. That means they're scared. Hell will be a place that is full of fear. That is sinful fear, the kind of fear that the gospel relieves. But then think about this, that godly fear, the fear of the Lord, the kind of fear we want to have, is actually a foretaste of heaven, that in heaven we will rejoice and tremble. That's the title of the book, of course, that we'll rejoice and tremble in the presence of our glorious God forever and forever. So I just found this immensely helpful. There is a fear that the gospel removes, and there is a fear that the gospel brings. Psalm 130 says, "With you there is forgiveness, so that you may be feared." See, when we're forgiven at the cross of Christ, we come to have a sense of awe and wonder of the Lord who has made us his own.
Thank you, Colin. Hey, we'd love to send you a copy of this book, Rejoice and Tremble, as you give a financial gift of any amount this month. You can find out more and give online when you come to unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 1-866-865-6253, or again, unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." This prayer is about a lot more than your daily needs. Discover why next time on Unlocking the Bible.